Shall we bow our heads in a word of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight thanking you for this opportunity to be here on this New Year's Eve. Lord, as we examine the past and look at the present, we just thank you, Father, for your goodness to us and your faithfulness and your love. Father, we pray tonight that as we reflect upon your word, that you would speak to each one of us in our hearts, encourage us as we head into the new year, Lord. We give you all the praise and the thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Our lesson tonight, for those who want to follow with, is found in Luke 10. Luke 10. And we're going to just read verses 38 through 42. Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. If it's not too hard, those who can stand, and if you're having problems, you just remain seated. Luke 10, 38 through 42. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. May God bless his word upon our heart this evening. You may be seated. I've entitled tonight, Choices for 2011. Choices for 2011. As we are here tonight, and as we've been doing in our testimony service, it's interesting and profitable for us to go back and reflect and survey the past year, what God has done and what he's doing in our life. Many of you mentioned certain things that happened, physical illnesses and experiences that you've had. And you also mentioned how God has been faithful. As we look back at the past, it's important to think about the past because many decisions that have been made this past year will affect decisions that are going to be made this coming year. You don't realize that, and I don't realize it all the time, but we begin habits and we make decisions, and many times, unless arrested by the Lord, and he gets our attention, many times we continue on in that same type of attitude towards him. It says, now it came to pass. I would like to have us examine our spiritual life during the past year, each one individually. I do this myself, and see what you find. The first thing I'm always concerned about, have we stagnated? You know what that is, don't you? You just take each day the same, every day, all the way through. Have we stagnated? You say, how am I going to find out about that? What do I think of? Probably examine your prayer life and your reading in God's Word. Has there been anything beyond the daily bread? And that's good, and I'm not putting it down. But it's a good thing to examine these things in our lives over the past year? Has there been any time that we've been excited in the Word, or are we kind of in a groove where we read the daily bread in the morning and that's it, then off we go? Not necessarily bad, but possibly could be improvement. Am I right? We could read a little bit more. We could find some of the food that God has for us in His Word. Have we a burden for others? Do you have lost ones that you are concerned about, whether they're neighbors, friends, family? Has that burden been upon your heart where you have said, Lord, help me to do everything I can to reach these people? You know, sometimes we spend years praying for people, and I know that. And God doesn't answer right away. But is the burden still there, and are we being faithful in our prayer life? What about our love for the Lord? What about our love for the Lord? You know, there are several verses that really challenge us in God's Word on love. But one of them is found in Revelation chapter 2, the church at Ephesus, where they had a good appraisal from God of all the things they were doing good. He said, but nevertheless, I have somewhat against you. You have left your first love. Has there been a time in your life when you've been more excited about the things of the Lord and suddenly these have dropped off a bit? And you know, he tells them to repent. And do your first works, because love for the Lord will involve activity on our part in serving Him. Work out our salvation, Paul says, with fear and trembling, for it's God who worketh in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And do you sense that the Lord has been working in you over this past year, drawing you closer to Him? And then how do we react to trials? This is a big thing in the life of a Christian, because they will have many different trials and testings. How do we react? As we look at these types of things, we are at a place now as we approach a new year where with God's help, things can be changed. If we found ourselves stagnated, or having gone downhill a little bit, praise God, the invitation is still open. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You know, come to me. Look to me. I'll draw you back up, even as he did Peter out of the water when he said, oh, ye of little faith. You know, just he reached out the hand, and he's there for us all the time. And so it's important as we look at our lives. Maybe we found ourselves drawing closer to the Lord through some of these trials. And it's just drawn our eyes up to Him because we don't know how we could get through apart from the Lord. However we are tonight, forgetting those things that are behind, as Paul said, and reaching forth unto those things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling, or of the upward calling of Christ Jesus. This is where we are tonight. I pray that if we are anything other than growing in the Lord, that tonight the decisions that we make will be to draw closer. And we may have to pray, Lord, draw me closer. I think it was David who said, turn me and I will be turned. I mean, he knew in himself he wasn't able. He didn't have the ability to change, even though we've all experienced that, haven't we, with New Year's resolutions? And we say we're going to do this, that, and the other thing, but we, in ourselves, we just kind of fall back in the old habits. And there's all kinds of resolutions. There might be physical ones that sometimes we resolve. We're going to exercise. We're going to, I won't even mention the other things. We all know what kind of resolutions are made at New Year many times. And we keep them for a while, and then by and by we get back in the old habits. But whatever the resolution is, right now we're going to just consider the spiritual in drawing near to the Lord. Let's examine this portion now and examine the present time in our account here, in making decisions, and in our own lives, that we bring this to mind and as we reflect upon these words. We find in verse 38, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house." I don't know about you, but as you read this, do you see there's some information left out? It says he entered into a certain village. He didn't tell us what village it was. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. I believe that information is left out. Some of you might ask the question, did they have a brother named Lazarus? Did anybody kind of somewhat wonder about that? And you see, tonight that's not important. I believe this was given so that we focus not on the history, not on what we know, but on this particular incident that is being told by Luke here about what happened. And so it's just a certain woman named Martha and her sister Mary, as we're going to get in the next verse. This verse 39 seems to be the focal point, and then it'll conclude down on 42. But 39, she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. She sat at his feet, whether you take this figuratively or in reality of the custom of the day, but seemingly she was intent upon what he was saying, and sometimes it's translated listened. I like to think of hearing a little bit deeper than just listening, because I believe she wanted to know and that she was being fed by what Jesus said. You cannot read his word when you stop and come to it and pray, "Lord, open your word to me," and you take time and say, "There is no limit now. I'm before the Lord. I'm going to be still and know that he is God. I'm going to read his word without having to be out in a destination in 10 minutes or 15 minutes, but I'm going to read and allow him to speak as I read." When we come to that place and God begins to open us, it's very hard to quit. You see, he does feed us with his word. There is a joy as we begin to understand some things that maybe we never understood before. As the disciples on the road to Emmaus said, "Did not our hearts burn within us as he opened to us the scriptures?" They just couldn't get enough, could they? They couldn't get enough. I pray that this coming year that might be some of us that come before his presence in prayer and in reading his word and find that it's just wonderful. We find that in verse 42, then, Jesus responds, "One thing is needful." Now, if you have any doubt about the word of God, I think Jesus answers our question here. It's needful. It's needful. I was reading in Hebrews today where it said, "Forsake not the assembling of yourself together." But do you remember what it follows with? "Exhort one another," and do you know what's after that? so much the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, the closer we come to meeting Him, the more we want to be together as a family of God and share. The more we want to share one with another on what God has given us. We have enjoyment at times as we come to the breakfast table and have had our devotions and we can share with one another, you know, honey, what I got this morning, what I read. And many times Jenny will share with me what she has read. Sometimes it starts me on a whole new hunt, or together we start on a new cross-referencing to see what else God has to say about that subject. I believe it was last night, I stayed up with Jess, and we talked basically just about the Word of God. We don't have that kind of time. We call on the phone and we talk every other week or every third week or so. But the joy just to share and not care about time. Not care about time. Jenny knows we have these days with that, especially as our sons come home. It was a special privilege of mine to be able to have time alone with them after a meal, after the supper meal, and then she would absent herself many times deliberately so that we could have that time together as father and son. And I can't think of any greater thrill than to be able to talk about the things of God. Be able to share. Be able to ask questions. What do you see in this area? Jesus said, one thing is needful. No, not one thing is good when it happens, but one thing is needful. If we are going to grow as Christians, we need to hear the Word of God. And it is good as we forsake not the assembling of ourselves together here. But there are special places, especially in Malachi, some of you remember, in talking one with another that the Lord heard and listened and hearkened and made a memory of it. And he said, they shall be mine in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. This is a beautiful concept of, I can just imagine the Lord up above, and of course he's all over, but I think of him as looking down on us from above as we are talking, and he's interested in what we're saying. That might hush a lot of conversations. But I pray as we talk about him and he is interested in what we were saying, that it gives us a joy and a peace. As he says to us, I am an ever-present help in trouble. Are there trials? Are there testings? He's there. He is there. All we have to do is look up, talk to him, and allow him to speak to us. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen that good part. There's several things here that are important. And the one I want to bring out tonight, being New Year's, is that it's a choice. It's a choice. Mary has chosen. Mary has chosen. There's Martha, but Mary has chosen that good part. Each one of us, as we wake up tomorrow, and as we start the day, we have a choice to make. We have a choice when we're going to wake up. You say, well, I don't set an alarm. You tell the Lord you want to meet with him and he'll wake you up earlier. I know that. I know that. You see, he's real. And that's part of how we learn to know him, isn't it? We pray, Lord, I want to wake up at a particular time. You'll wake up. Lord, I want to spend some time with you. He would love that. He waits to meet us as we start our day. If you haven't read the little book in the back, My Heart, I Believe Christ's Home, we've got some yet in there. Take one. Take it home with you and read it. It was so beautiful because it challenged me to a new time in my life when I thrilled to meet God. You say, but I need my sleep. I believe I can say that the time given for God, He will take care of. He will take care of. You know, I was worried about that for a while, many years ago. But I have proved Him over and over and over again that He will take care of you when you put Him first. If we will reflect on these things as we get up tomorrow and you say, oh, I missed. There's another day coming. There's another day coming. And we can take time with Him during the day or in the evening. I know we have people that are night people. But we can take time whenever God places upon our heart to set that time aside for Him. And I know He will bless because He said, one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part. Now our time is somewhat coming to a close. But I want to look at Martha. I don't want to end with her, but I do want to look at her. She's another sister, isn't she? I believe there are many Marthas in the world today. There are many Marthas in the world today. First of all, a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house. I take that literally. It was her house. She had a lot of responsibilities. And in verse 40, Martha was, King James says, cumbered or encumbered or burdened, or the word actually has kind of stretched apart with many things that you're responsible for, if you can understand that. All kinds of irons in the fire. Kind of got the picture of that. She was encumbered about much serving. Now, in this case, there are priorities that have been chosen. There are priorities. I'm sure serving was very important. And it can be. And the life of a Christian, we are told to be servants. We are told to be concerned about certain things, but going back to Ecclesiastes, there is a time for each thing in its season. There is a time. And there are times when we have to make a choice. As we pray in the mornings for God to order our day, there have been days in the past weeks that have been completely turned from what we had planned to do. But if we can see that this is the Lord working, that's what we want. And God always blesses when you follow where He leads, or don't ask Him to lead. But if you ask Him to lead, you can depend that He will, because that's according to His will. He wants to lead us. And if you believe He's leading you, then the things that come into your life are allowed or sent by God. Take them as such. Take them as such. And it'll make life a lot less complicated and a lot less confused. Oh, our plans may be put off, but He's a God of order. He'll take us through every step of the way. Martha was cumbered about with much serving. I want you to see what happens when we get to this place, because I think this is a good example of many people as they talk about the Lord. She said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me." As I looked at that statement, she called him Lord and then told him what to do. That sounded like the rich man, didn't it? Send Lazarus back. He was used to giving orders. I'm not trying to find fault with this, but you notice that her eyes were blind and her heart was hardened as to who was in her midst. Are we sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking inside our hearts? Or have we ordered our days in such a manner that we don't have room for God's leading because we've got everything planned? When we get so busy, we also become blinded to the goodness of God. And He doesn't seem to be as important to us. And you see, what really happens is we lose the fear of God. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. And every time we depart from God's will and God's word, we're going in the wrong direction. I hurt when I see people not sensitive to the Lord. I really hurt. Because if that pattern continues, the Bible says many, or there'll be a falling away first, a falling away, which I take as many. Because if it's mentioned in the Bible that there's going to be a falling away, it's worthy enough to pay attention to. That means people are going to be harder. It says the love of many will grow cold. There the love question goes in. Good way to examine ourselves. Our love for the Lord. And before He comes, the love of many will grow cold. I pray tonight as we just think about these few comments, and as we come to make decisions beginning tomorrow for the coming year, that they might be godly decisions, and that we might, with His help, choose the good part. Not be encumbered with so many things that would distract us. Paul tells Timothy that in the last days, perilous times are coming. He says, men shall be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. As we look around today, I'm sure we could find all kinds of examples of that very thing, couldn't we? But this is not meant to find fault. This is not meant to talk about all the unbelievers. We know there's a lot of unbelievers. This is meant to encourage God's children to make good choices for 2011. Shall we stand as we're dismissed? And as we finish, we'll ask Dave to lead us in the doxology. And then if you'll join us downstairs for some fellowship, those that get down there may begin the line and go right through, because I know a lot of people with the weather don't want to stay too late. Our Heavenly Father, once again, we thank You for this past year and for what we've learned. I thank You, Father, for Your word, and even for sharing with us tonight through Your word that it's needful to choose the good part. It's needful to listen to your word, to reflect upon it, to be fed by it. Father, as we begin this new year, give us the strength to make good choices, godly choices. And we know, Lord, if we are willing to pray and ask you, you are more than willing to answer that prayer. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide with each one, both now and forever.